What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Big time stuff on a Friday. It's not B&E. Ty Harrington here again. Buck hopefully back on Monday after his procedure on Tuesday. Appreciate Ty Harrington being here all week. Appreciate your great folks at your real job, Casey Development.
Yeah,
letting you be here.
Yep, I do too. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a great couple days for me.
Appreciate you and them. And now you're going to get geared up for
Worst Fest.
Come on, man. Is the first weekend or second weekend better? It doesn't matter.
It does not matter, but tonight the second weekend is probably the most crowded, but it gets kicked off tonight, and it doesn't matter what night you go out there. I mean, I truly, the only night I would kind of warn you a little bit about is Thursday night. That's next Thursday night. That's college night, and it gets, that's it's like a big, look at T.Y. behind the glass.
I used to take the buses
down
there.
College night.
That's right.
I love some polka. Come on.
Polka. But I know I was down in Lockhart yesterday. I went and saw Rod and Harge out there at Terry Black's barbecue, that great new spot, and helped arrange that whole thing. So I wanted to go say hi to Terry and got to meet the head football coach at Lockhart. Also a lot of great people. I think the mayor was out there. I mean, and they're buzzing about the big barbecue festival this weekend in Lockhart, Texas. They've got Texas Monthly, and they're calling it the World's Fair of Barbecue. How about Worst Fest and World's Fair of Barbecue? Only about an hour apart. I mean, you can get to Lockhart from New Braunfels in an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on, man. Get after that this weekend. Obviously, you've got plenty of football with the maybe the college game of the year thus far. Will it turn into that? Georgia and Tennessee, 2:30 on Saturday. Tennessee, in addition to beating Alabama, they also went into LSU and beat the daylights out of the Bayou Bengals. This team is not afraid. They are not shy about getting after you. So, Georgia, are they ready for that? We'll see. Looking forward to watching that ball game. While we are out at Lavaca Street Bar on South Lamar, that's where the pregame show will be tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. That game will kick at 2:30, so we'll be checking that out and getting you ready for Texas and K-State.
Who are you taking? And you may have already said,
Georgia.
Right? Georgia. I am too.
And I think I would lay the points. I think it's a 10-point ball game. I just think, but again, Tennessee has surprised me all along. I thought Kentucky was going to give them a good game last week, and they just blitzkrieged that group.
They did.
They said, get out of town. And that's where Josh, and I know everybody will immediately get, well, what about Steve Sarkisian comments? Josh Heupel's in year two. Like, he's like a year and a half into this deal. And he did not inherit this loaded program. He got in there and they had all kinds of investigations going on. There were people jumping out in the portal. I remember Oklahoma Lincoln Riley brought in like four players off that Tennessee team that were getting out of Dodge. And Josh Heupel has just really turned that thing quick. And we'll see. If they beat Georgia, that's one of the great quick turnarounds we've ever seen, because Georgia's the defending champions, playing on their home field, have the better defense. But Tennessee, they're undefeated and sitting at number one in the rankings. And that's, we had somebody text and say, well, why isn't Georgia number one if they're favored by eight? And look, I mean, it's the first week of that fart known as the college football playoff rankings, as I call it. They stink for a little bit and then they're gone. We'll be on to the new rankings. If Georgia beats Tennessee, they're going to be number one next week. And they would deserve that. They'd be on, but right now Georgia doesn't have a win as good as the Tennessee wins body of work wise. Yes, they beat Oregon week one, but Tennessee owns a win over Alabama. They own a win over LSU on the road. Georgia would ascend to the number one spot with a win because Ohio State's not playing. Ohio State's playing Northwestern.
Yeah,
this weekend. So, Georgia winner of that game will be number one rightfully. So it doesn't really matter what people think right now. They're going to decide that on the field. We're going to talk to Lee Sterling here in mere moments, talking big picks of the weekend. Quick reminder, in addition to our pregame coverage tomorrow, we have our great Saturday morning lineup, Ty. Local, live and local all morning on Saturdays with Playing Through with the golf guys, Carl Mickelson, no relation to Phil, and Bob Ballew from CBS Austin. Then it's the High Ground with Casey and Johnny. And our buddy Craig Flowers sent us a note. He is on the High Ground tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And, for the Kentucky Derby and then for the Breeders' Cup, Colonel does something that really, for me, is like must-listen radio. He does his own call of the Breeders' Cup, so they do it on the High Ground. It's the Horn Cup, where he sets up his own play-by-play of a horse race. And he said, among the horses who will be running tomorrow, Brain Vault, Inflation, Twitter and Watermelon Thump out of Luling, Texas, and says Brain Vault is the early favorite out of the Dr. Eckert stable. So that be listening to that tomorrow, 10 to 11, and then Revved Up ATX with Rodney and the crew. But Craig does it. That's really funny because he's part owner of a horse stable of themselves called Don't Tell My Wife Stables. That's really what it's called. And speaking of my wife, you know what? We were talking about Jeremy Pena a lot this morning. You know, the only thing she doesn't like about Jeremy Pena is she gets so mad. They always put him on the camera, and he's like blowing boogers out his nose. Like he's doing the, you know, like just blowing, which guys do.
Yeah.
And you see it in the dugout all
the
time.
It's a dugout.
She doesn't like it. And it seems like every time they hit the thing, she's like, oh, come on, Jeremy. Like she's talking to our son or something.
They can make a movie, a total movie, or Netflix, however you want to look at it, about a dugout. And what a dugout really is like. Oh, my God.
Comedy.
Oh, comedy. There's drama. There's emotions. There's things you don't want to see or hear. There's things. I mean, it truly is.
In a nine-inning ball game. Between that and the bullpen.
Unbelievable. I mean, and in honest to goodness, I wish, you know, Linkletter or somebody like that would go in there and go, okay, I am going to do a show on a dugout and what that's really like, and every baseball player in America would love to chip in.
I like
in.
That idea.
It truly is,
we
man.
We get to Richard Linklater and see if he would do that. That is funny.
It's a special place.
And, you know, especially like where you are, we're at Texas State in college baseball. You know, in baseball, a lot of times the pitchers are separated from the hitters, right? They're down in their own bullpen. But in college baseball, everybody's in the same dugout.
Yeah.
Like all the clowns.
Yeah.
And they got to kill time for 4 hours if they're not playing. And there's as we said, speaking of blowing boogers and farting and everything going on and jokes being told and conversations, girlfriends breaking up with me.
You know, hey, look at the girl in the third row over there. I mean, there's, you know, hollering at umpires. You're getting ragged. You're, you know, from opposing fans to all kinds of things. I mean, guys making sure the uniforms are in the right look because they want to make sure they look good when they, you know, you look good, feel good, play good, all the above. And there's so many things. There's so many personalities, and there's so many, you know, things that are happening in there emotionally.
That's why people love the movie Bull Durham, I think, because it takes you behind the scenes of a minor league. And it's genuine. It's real. What goes on the bus, locker room, dugout. And, you know, Craig Flowers, who we just talked about from the High Ground, he's always said that, you know, his time at Ranger Junior College should be
the corral.
Sitcom. Yeah, Ranger Junior College, chasing rattlesnakes in the outfield. Like, that would be, you know, junior college baseball could be a Netflix series as well. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline as we talk some baseball with the Astros on the verge of a championship. We've got big-time college and pro football this weekend. Let's check in as we do each Friday in this spot with our buddy Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com, off a 4-2 week a week ago. And, man, red hot at the service. If you called ParamountSports.com, he was killing it, including that 50-unit selection on the New England Patriots last week. Lee, how are you, bud?
I'm great. Can't complain when you're winning. All is good. So we're going to look to continue. I have my college football game of the year going on Saturday. It's ready for release right now. I want people to get in on it before the line moves. I do think the line will move. So we're going to try to keep rolling. 10 out of 12 winning weeks since the start of the preseason. So anyone wants to get involved, don't wait until, you know, mid-December and say, oh, I want to play some bowls. I'm in the hole. I need to catch up. Let's build a bankroll now so you can take that trip, you know, that you want to go on or, you know, maybe put a little nice down payment for a new car. So got something big in college football. I think we got some winners also on the games we're going to discuss today. Also, I'm going to add a game, all right? You like to add a game? Got the Bill Cohen special, all right?
Okay.
Right off the bat, Texas A&M is playing Florida.
Yes.
So I've been going against Texas A&M. One of my big plays last week was Ole Miss. I just think that this Florida team is not good. To beat Texas A&M, you got to do something really well. You got to either run the ball or you got to pass the ball or do both equally well. I don't think Florida does any one thing well here. They gave it their all. They had nothing left against Florida. They came back in the second half, made a game of it. I think they're going to be flat as a pancake. I think the A&M found their quarterback here. I think they're going to run all over Florida. Blowout special. We're going Texas A&M 38, 17 over Florida.
Oh, bonus game from Lee, and that was one we made. Yep. I made my picks yesterday, Lee, and I like that one as well with the Aggies. And I think they found themselves a quarterback down there too. And even though they're lost five games, I think they know who the future is. Question is, why did it take so long to get that guy on the field, for crying out loud? But either way, all right, other games. So let's go with Clemson and Notre Dame. Clemson and Notre Dame. This is obviously Clemson comes in at number four. That raised a lot of question marks with the college football playoff. Now they have to go into South Bend, where the Irish have been kind of up and down. They handled Syracuse. They've beaten North Carolina. But, man, they lose to Stanford and Marshall. Not very consistent. What do you make of that matchup with Clemson in South Bend?
So Notre Dame, the last six games, what have they done? They went back to their roots and their strength, playing smash-mouth football. They won 5 of 6. Strong running attack, rotating in three running backs. Backup quarterback Drew Pine, who took over, throwing underneath to future NFL tight end Michael Mayer. But not going to be able to do that against Clemson. Clemson can match them up front here. Their offensive line for the Tigers much improved over a year ago. I think their receivers are ascending. And you get in the red zone, Will Shipley. we'll put it across the goal line here. Clemson by double digits, 28-17.
That defense, that's not a defense you want to run into with Brian Breezy and those guys up front at Clemson. And we'll see. All right, Georgia-Tennessee, game of the year so far in college football, 3-1. The winner will be number one when it's all said and done. And who will win that game, Lee?
So the public is all over Tennessee. 81% of the bets are on Tennessee. The money, though, 57% of the money is on the Georgia Bulldogs. Everyone wants to watch this offense at Tennessee, number one in the nation, against the Georgia defense. Maybe not as good as last year's number one unit, but still number four in the country here. So Georgia's offense, I think they're going to take advantage of Tennessee's defense. Georgia, number four offense, the Vols, 82nd ranked defense. So I think they might have one of those games like they had against the Oregon Ducks to start the season. Ooh. That power running game. They've got three tight ends, I believe, that will be playing at the next level here. I think that just for one day, this isn't a best of five, best of seven series like the Major League Baseball playoffs or World Series or even the NBA playoffs. The one game matchup, and the players' scheme and coaches for Georgia's defense, I think, are good enough to at least limit Tennessee. Georgia, by two touchdowns,
48-34. Dogs, hunker down. Hey, Lee, stay in the SEC because Alabama is off their bye week and on the road at LSU, and it's a big fat number, 13. That is a lot for a team that hasn't been great on the road, even though they're 7-1 and ranked 6th in the rankings. What do we make of that? Brian Kelly may be overachieving a little bit in year one at 6-2. But here comes Nick Saban.
Yeah, here comes Nick, but problem with Nick's team is on the road, 2-6 against the spread the last 8 road games. I have one of my keys is I rarely go against hot quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, first game of the year against Florida State. I'm like, wow, he is awful. They're going to have to replace him. Well, he figured it out. The green light is on. Last 2 weeks, 45 points he put up against Florida, 45 against Ole Miss. He was in a zone in the second half here. I think Alabama's good, but this is not a championship team, especially if you watch their offensive line, their receivers, and their defense here. I think we're going to have an ESPN cliffhanger from Baton Rouge, Alabama escape. Should be a great game, 38-34.
Man, the SEC is loaded. Somebody said on our text line, Lee, that he saw on one of the message boards that maybe the A&M quarterback has the flu. So we'll keep an eye on that. If you said to tell Lee, we'll keep an eye on that up to kickoff to the Big 12 now. So far, if you just tuned in with Lee Sterling, he likes Clemson on the road at Notre Dame to cover the 3, win that ball game by double digits. Georgia does the same to Tennessee, likes a close one in Baton Rouge with LSU keeping it close but losing to Alabama. How about TCU and Texas Tech? 11 o'clock tomorrow in Fort Worth. TCU undefeated. They're pretty mad that they were number 7 in the original rankings with that explosive offense, but they've been getting behind early in some games, having to come back. Can the Red Raiders give them trouble in Fort Worth?
If this game was being played in Lubbock, I might be able to make a case to back Texas Tech, but on the road, I don't. I mean, again, last week, Dave Aranda, what did his defense do against Texas Tech's offense? Induced 5 interceptions, and their quarterbacks for Tech, both of them, a combined 12 for 38 passing. They're not going to be that bad this week, but TCU, I think their defense will be good enough. They're able to get some key stops here. Their offense behind cool hand Luke Max Dugan, 22 touchdowns, just two interceptions. He's right behind Hendon Hooker, in my opinion, for best player and the winning the Heisman Trophy. So he keeps it up. Tennessee falls. He might move into that top spot here. Vols offense, just so good. Almost 45 points per game this year. I'm going to keep riding them. I think eventually they will probably lose. It might be next week. Might be in the Big 12 championship game, but not this Saturday. TCU, 45-28
with the Frogs staying undefeated. And that would be in Austin next week. It's maybe a top five team with all the showdowns this weekend. Hey, Lee, the Longhorns, the game we will be focused on and talking about tomorrow. Longhorns talking about playing four quarters. They're 5-3, the three losses. They've been outscored 31-9 in the fourth quarter. Got to finish these games. They've got the talent to do it, but can they do it at K-State on Saturday night?
I'd love to see the way Kansas State played last week and Texas played the way against Oklahoma. That would be an incredible game. I don't think both teams can play at that level against each other. So both have so many strengths here. I think that even though Texas is going to be successful on offense, be able to put up some points, even though the Wildcats held Oklahoma State scoreless last week, the difference here is I think Kansas State might rotate their quarterbacks this week. I just got a suspicion that Adrian Martinez will play some. He should have some success. Will Howard, where he was last year, he was nowhere as a quarterback. He's on fire, hot quarterback here. I think it's like that's going to be dual back and forth here. Maybe the last team with the ball wins it. For that reason, I'll take the dog here. I thought Kansas State was going to come the 1 to 2 point favorite. Cats upset Texas here for the first time since 2016. Shootout. 40-37
in Little Apple, Manhattan, Kansas. The bonus pick from Lee was Texas A&M. Lee, how can folks play the weekend, get you into some NFL games as well? Lot going on. It's one of those, you know, sports equinoxes this weekend with everything going on, every sport. How can they play?
They want to get the college football game of the year, including, we don't call it November, our Dovember special. Entire month of November. Just $297. And remember, there's games every day of the week. We've got Maction on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. So, said we've won 10 out of 12 weeks. Let's keep rolling. $297 for a month of action. Or through the Super Bowl, just $597. We're not even halfway through the NFL season. You get with that special. Rest of the college football, all the NFL regular season, 36 bowl games, NFL playoffs, and Super Bowl. It's discounted now all the way down to $597. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, always appreciate it, my friend. Have a safe weekend, and we look forward to our chat next week.
Okay, see you guys. See you, Bucky. See you, Aaron.
Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. There you go. The great one. You know, he played at Southwest Texas back
that.
In the day, a little quarterback back in the day, quarterback.
Yep.
Lee Sterling, bringing it. Clemson, I like that. I kind of like all these because these are a couple of my pluckers picks that I made yesterday with Dave Paul. I do like TCU with a chip on their shoulder game. I do like Georgia. I think they're the superior side there. Texas, look, I picked K-State too, and it's the same reason Lee said that if it's an even game and you're giving me 3 points on my home field, I have to take them. But I do think Texas can win this game. I saw a tweet, and I got to give credit to my our former colleague here at the Horn and producer of ours and doing great stuff, Ari Temkin, SiriusXM. His tweet, Bijan Robinson is a star running back for Texas. He has an NIL deal with Lamborghini, among others. Deuce Vaughn is a star running back for K-State. He has an NIL deal in Manhattan with porta-potties. What a matchup. So there you go. I mean, doesn't that just cast the programs? I mean, we've heard, the Country Club Longhorns against the culture of, you know, three-star players but five-star culture at Iowa State or K-State. This is a matchup. Texas has to match that coming up. And Sark knows it. You played at Texas. You can't do anything about it. It's just the way it goes.
Well, embrace it.
Yeah.
Embrace it. I mean, and ultimately now in an NIL world, it can help you. It certainly can bring something. I'll tell you one thing I love about what Lee said, and I totally agree with this, and we kind of touched on it the other day. I think Max Dugan is one of the top, it probably right today, is the top quarterback in the Big 12. And he can beat you with his arm. He can beat you with his legs. He can beat you with his brain. And he can beat you with his experience. And I just think that guy has made all the world's difference. He's an older guy. He's more physical than he was 2 years ago. And it just shows you it's a quarterback-driven sport at times. But also when you have – you can't do enough when you've got experience. Experience means so much when you're in those moments and when you got a guy like that in a huddle. And I think he's made the biggest difference. Sonny Dykes has done an unbelievable job. And I've known Sonny since we were kids, by the way, going to coaching school in Houston, Texas. And he's done an incredible job. But I think Max Duggan has played way above a lot of other people.
Well, and you give Garrett Riley, Lincoln Riley's little brother, the offensive coordinator, a lot of credit with his development. But you saw that when you were coaching college baseball for 20 years. I mean, kids you see at one school 1 year, and all of a sudden the next year, and then the next year, oh my gosh, that guy's gotten a lot better. It happens, right? I mean, development, coaching. And that's what, you know, we keep talking about Jeremy Pena this morning. By the way, my mother has texted to say, I agree with Nadine, your wife. The too much booger, too much snot rockets going on in the dugout for the Astros. I love it. But Jeremy Pena, you talk about you can't coach experience. He doesn't have any experience in any of this. He's never been here before. And he's playing like a Hall of Famer. I don't know. That's what's so impressive about a young guy like that who doesn't know any better and embraces it. And that's really what the Longhorns have to do. They have to embrace the country club moniker. You know, you dismiss it by being tougher and being more mentally tough in the fourth quarter of these football games and winning these games. That's how the Longhorns changed that narrative. And as for Sonny Dykes, I mean, he's doing a tremendous job. Max Duggan has just gotten better and better. Texas fans would tell you he's now playing against everybody else like he played against us. Yeah. That's what he would do to Texas, and now he's playing like that across the board. I do like that pick. Our buddy Craig Flowers would tell you that, don't forget, Lee Sterling has picked against the Frogs each of the last 3 weeks and has been wrong.
Well,
now he's picking with the Frogs, and we'll see.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. I think Texas, my hope, let me just back up and say this. My hope is, I think it's a toss-up. I really do. I think it's a toss-up game. My hope is that K-State misses a field goal at the end of the game and Texas wins and walks out of there with a win and all the momentum, plays the toughest game. I keep bringing this back up. I want them to, more than I'm saying they're going to, I want them to go out there and play the most complete game they've played all year. They're teed up to go do that this
off
week.
The week.
And they need to go do
practice,
and they need to go do it.
All right, we'll get to all of it. We're going to go, speaking of coaches, we're talking to David Pierce. How do you get a team mentally ready to go? David Pierce in the middle of their Fall World Series. We'll talk to the skipper. Also, several people agreeing that the junior college baseball Netflix series or dugout scenes would be phenomenal. Which junior college did you coach at?
Northeast Texas Community College, won a national title there, and then spent 1 year at Blinn. And, man, I'm going to tell you what, I missed eating bologna sandwiches and sitting on a water igloo bucket and coaching baseball. Those were some of my funnest days. I enjoy my time at Texas State. I don't take anything away from that. But just the innocence of junior college baseball and some of the craziness that went on there is beyond. Skip Johnson and I used to square off. Tim Tadlock, we all used to square off against each other. And when we all get together, there are some pretty impressive stories one way or another.
Let's get Linklater together with Craig. Craig Flowers apparently already has his screenplay written. We need to add to that and build something because we could go big time with these streaming services. We'll get our buddy Monty Williams involved to be one of our writers. We'll make this happen. We'll be back. David Pierce will join.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, let's go right to it. The Vaqueros Hotline. It's Major League Baseball season with the World Series, but the Longhorns are going through their Fall World Series right now to wrap up their fall work and get into the offseason. And David Pierce is on the Vaqueros Hotline, great friend of our show. And, of course, Ty Harrington here as well, so we got some good baseball talk. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing good. We were just debating that Ty believes that the dugout in a baseball dugout would be a great setting for a Netflix series and what goes on over the course of ball games. And then we added to that JUCO baseball. You think there's some legs to that, having been around the game as long as you have, the comedy that goes on in these dugouts?
Well, the best two places when you talk about baseball players is definitely the clubhouse and the dugout. There's some interesting things that happen in those areas that really shouldn't happen in public.
That's a good way to put it.
Right, Ty?
It's not woke in there, I can tell you that. There's a lot of things said in there that don't need to get out of there.
And really, most of the time, it's not G-rated.
That's exactly right. But it would be funny on Netflix if we did it with actors. And maybe get Linklater to be a part of that. That'd be fun. Hey, Coach Pierce,
seems to have this radio stuff down, so maybe he would be the perfect candidate to be the leading role.
There you go. He's got movie star looks. You know that. TV star. It's the haircut, you know. Hey, Coach, did you get seen in the Astros game last night after your inter squad game?
Yeah, I'm still playing a little catch up right now because I want to go back and watch the first part of it. But yeah, I've kept up with the entire series. It's just always great baseball this time of year. Late October, early November, you've got, you know, Major League Baseball at its peak. You got college football, the NFL. It's just a great time for a sports fan. But I love watching the Astros, and I love watching competition. And the Phillies have been outstanding as well. So it's just been a great series, but a great postseason.
It's amazing. We just talked about Jeremy Pena walking into this and becoming the star on this stage. Pretty incredible. You've had young guys come in. Let's talk about some of your young guys, and that's going to be the key for your team. You've got a lot of new faces. Last year's team back to Omaha, but didn't have the success they wanted, but a lot of new players. And before we talk about these actual games here in the Fall World Series, how has the fall gone?
It's been outstanding, really. It's probably, and Ty will understand this, getting off the plane from Omaha, just so much in the transition of summer with camps and recruiting. And then you add a new staff, and then you add the transfer portal and the NIL. So it's probably been one of our most demanding off seasons ever. And we just seem like we haven't really stopped up to this point. But a lot of new. We have 21 new players, 20 returning players, and then dealing with some of those things, a new staff. But I really have been just excited about so many of our newcomers, especially our freshmen. And, again, we inserted with some really good transfers. But we set up this World Series this year a little different. Normally the players have a draft, but we have so much balance throughout our position players that, one, I felt like I wanted these guys to continue to play in the same position throughout these three games, because I don't think we have the luxury right now to kind of play out of position and move some guys around. I really wanted to see guys stay there. And then when I looked at it, we can literally go new versus old. And a lot of those new kids are young. So we had seven freshmen on the field last night for the great team, and just a really interesting look. But yeah, a lot of excitement with some young players.
He's David Pierce joining us. They had their first game of the Fall World Series, the gray versus white. And so it's new versus old. I like that. 21 new players facing the guys that have already been here. And, you know, last night, let me ask you this. The guys who fans already know that are coming back, a guy like Dylan Campbell, who had such a great back end of the season last year and into Omaha, got to feel like he's one of your go-to guys. Mitchell Daly is back. Who are the guys you're really going to rely on here, not just through this fall, but into the upcoming spring, to provide the leadership for your ball club from the veteran side?
Yeah, both of those players plus Eric Kennedy. But Dylan Campbell, you know, he finished the season hot and just has continued that. I mean, he's a bona fide star right now. The thing I love about Dylan is he can do so many different things. He can run. He plays great defense. He can throw. And he's always hit for average. And now his power is starting to show. So this kid's got a chance to really take off. You know, because of his speed, you think he's kind of a one-hole, maybe a two-hole guy. But he's done a great job in the three-hole for us. Once we moved him there all fall. And EK being back is such a veteran, stoic leader, giving him every opportunity to win that job in center. And same thing with Mitch. You know, Mitch came in as a shortstop, but, you know, did a great job the last couple of years at second. So he's had every opportunity to play short. And, you know, those guys are three guys that were on the field the last 2 years with a very veteran team and a very good team. So what they see inside the clubhouse, how they lead that group, is going to be pivotal.
Hey, David, I know the fall's about a lot of instruction, development, and also information. InterSquad brings a lot of those kind of game information and ideas and what you got to get better at. But when you brought in different colored jerseys, when you had Sanjak come in and had U of H come in, how did you guys do against the outside competition?
I'm glad you brought that up because you're right. I remember David Hamilton freshman year, and you guys remember David.
Sure.
He came in the fall, and he was just like low motor. Not, you know, we all know his athleticism, but just never got excited. And then we played the 16 and under USA group here my first fall. And David's switch went on, and it was a different guy. And so some guys get bored with just playing each other over and over. And I think David was one of those guys. And when we threw another jersey on against us, and he just became a star that night, the guy that we thought and hoped he would be. So you see that. I was real impressed. Houston had already played a few or one inter-squad outside competition. And then so they had a little bit more comfort. It was our first game. I was very impressed of our pulse and not getting too excited, kind of having that even keel and still breathing and, you know, managing the box and doing a good job on the rubber. So, it is good. I mean, we played really well, but you're right, Ty. There was so much information, so many things we can do better. We're still trying to put pieces together when you look at the staff and, you know, different qualities and values of different players on the field.
New challenge.
Guys that can really run.
Yeah, new challenge for sure. So many veterans last year, so many new faces, and a new staff coach. I mean, we know Woody Williams has come in to coach the pitchers, and Coach Rodriguez from the Baylor side. I mean, how's that gone? This is you with some new blood and new guys you got to go to work with. How has that been so far?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm pretty patient when it comes to making decisions, and I like to gather information and get different opinions. And when I went into that, it was probably a little slower than most people around here wanted, but I wanted to get it right. And I didn't want to panic over who's going to be our next assistant coaches. And I think we hit it. I think we hit it right. Woody's outstanding. He's got more patience and character and just a great mentor and excellent demeanor for our pitching staff. And then Rod is a guy that, you know, we all know has been in the game as a player, as a big league player, as an assistant coach, and then the last 19 years as a head coach. So that's an interesting, different type of hire for me. But he's been an excellent hire and has fit in really well.
No question. You got one more, Coach?
At some point in time, you've been on the go, and it's been go, go, go since you jumped off the plane in Omaha. You're going to get any chance when here when the fall ball's over to take off and go do some deer hunting and just kind of hang out by the fire for a little bit?
Well, I definitely am. I promise you that's going to happen, Ty. Hopefully both of those things. I have two granddaughters now, and so I'll spend a little time with them. But my wife and I are going to take a trip the 1st of December and get out of town for a little bit and just get caught up on some rest.
No question. Maybe play a little golf as well. And Ty's got that handicap going down. You need to come get him while the getting's good.
He doesn't coach anymore.
That's right. I got time. My wedge game is incredible now. I mean, I'm telling you.
And
instead of staying up with my pen and a piece of paper writing down 25 different lineups that it was going to all evolve back into one, I get my putter in my hand, you know, putting the ball down the hallway.
You're working on your chip. Hey, I got a new hat the other day that says I'm the best second ball scratch golfer.
That's exactly right.
Outstanding.
That second guy's always a scratch.
Yeah, I hope to get some time off and enjoy that.
Well, we look forward to visiting with you the next time we get the opportunity, Coach, and learn more about your ball club as it grows together into February and beyond. So appreciate the visit and enjoy the World Series this weekend. You got games tomorrow and Sunday, right? Because you've moved them back because of the weather today. So tomorrow and Sunday will be the ball games?
Actually, today we're still on.
Okay.
We've got a camp in the morning. We've got a K-State Texas football game. So if we have to push to tomorrow, it'll squeeze in between those around 3:30. Hopefully we can get it in today and then 2:00 on Sunday.
2:00 Sunday. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Hook 'em.
All right. There.
Best of luck, David.
There it is. Yeah. David Pierce. It's been a go. They've rebuilt the roster. Excuse me, the roster and the coaching staff on the fly. You know that's not easy to do, Coach. A lot of work to go into that to make sure you get it right, as he said, and find the right pieces. We'll come back. When we do, we've got to go head-to-head. Picks with John McClellan, Supreme Lending. That'll be our next point of emphasis. And then, of course, Ty with some thoughts on what we heard from Coach right there. Coming back on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Good stuff today. A lot of good Astros chatter. Astros one win away from a championship. They Had the same scenario in 2019. Came back home to Minute Maid Park with two chances to beat the Nationals and win a World Series. Didn't happen. Lost both ball games. Heartbreaking fashion. Let's hope that's not a repeat here in 2022. Astros seem like they've gotten control of this series with the big no-hitter win and then a 3-2 win last night in an absolute nail-biter of a tough, intense, you know, defense, pitching, edge-of-your-seat drama last night. We think we'll get the same in Manhattan, Kansas tomorrow night with the Longhorns and K-State. Very even matchup. Could go to the wire. Final couple plays. We'll certainly get you ready for it starting tomorrow at 2 o'clock with our pregame coverage. 6 o'clock kick. We'll be live at the Lavaca Street Bar on South Lamar, one of the Matt Lucky's cool places. We'll be out there tomorrow, 2 to 6, getting you ready for the kickoff. We'll be hanging out watching the game, so come on out and join us there. You can watch Georgia, Tennessee, and everything going on. Astros out there as well. And the Phillies in Game 6 of the World Series tomorrow night, 7:03. Let's go right to the Vaqueros hotline, though. He was nice enough to move back a segment because we had David Pierce talking some World Series and some baseball. But he is John McClellan, Supreme Lending, going head-to-head on the picks. Johnny, how are you?
I'm doing well, my friends. How are we doing today?
Doing good. I don't know this. Are you an Astros fan? Are you rooting for either side of the World Series?
Oh, I am an Astros fan, absolutely.
That was
the whole game last night. It was fantastic. Better than the game the other night.
Yeah. Well, the no-hitter was good, and last night, if you're like me, you don't have any fingernails left, and your hair is a little grayer.
Catching the outfield, though, in the ninth inning, that was absolutely amazing. So,
yeah, Chaz McCormick up against the fence. I mean, that was awesome. Okay, so we've got awesome games this weekend, and that's all for and thanks to you and Chris Waters and our friends at Coke FM making this happen, and it's all for great charities. We've all picked our charity, the winner. We'll get part of that $10,000 pot coming up.
Did you say winner? I think we're winning again.
You're winning. A lot of football left here. A lot of football. We remember November, John. Remember November. But yes, congratulations. Right now, you guys at Supreme Lending are in the lead, and you've had a couple of strong weeks back to back. Bucky and I went 4-1 last week, or Buck did. Buck's out today. Ty Harrington is hanging out, so you're going to go head to head with our producer, Ty Henderson. Let's go Tennessee, Georgia. Either one of you want to go with Tennessee and pull the upset, or are we going dogs?
I'm going dogs.
I'm going Tennessee.
Oh,
there it is.
Johnny Mack going bold right there with the clockwork orange. I like that. All right, Alabama, LSU. Alabama's nearly a 2-touchdown favorite, but it's in Baton Rouge, which seems like a big number. We're just picking a winner, though, John. Who do you like?
Oh, Alabama. I don't think there's any discussion.
Uh-oh, T.Y.
Give me the Tigers.
Give me the Tigers.
This offense has looked great the past few weeks. I think on the road or at home, they can take down the Crimson Tide.
All right. Does Bucky approve that message?
I think he would.
All right. Notre Dame is home to Clemson. Clemson's a favorite, but Notre Dame has won 5 of their last 6. Ty, where are we going?
We're going Clemson.
Clemson? What about you? You got any Golden Domer in you there, John?
No, we're going Clemson, too.
Clemson. Okay, so opposite the first two, even on the Clemson pick. Now to the NFL. Matt Stafford against Tom Brady was last year's big NFL playoff game, NFC championship game. The divisional playoff, Rams-Buccaneers, but in two different places right now. Who wins, Bucks or Rams in Tampa, John McClellan?
I really think the Bucks in Tampa. I mean, Brady can't have another bad game, right?
I couldn't, right? It's two very flawed teams. Tom Brady's now officially divorced, and that's all final, and I guess he can focus on football. What are we doing here, Ty?
We're going with the Bucks as well.
Bucks at home at the Pirate Ship, and the final game is the Sunday Nighter with Carrie Underwood and those legs of hers leading us off. It's the Chiefs and the Titans. This is a really good game. Derrick Henry and that big locomotive that he is. Chiefs off their bye week, which means Andy Reid will be scheming it like crazy. Ty, who are we taking?
Give me Derrick Henry and the Titans. The train's going to keep rolling this week.
Oh, man, we're going to get killed this week.
So I'm going with Chiefs.
Okay. You got the Chiefs. I've got you down, John, so let me make sure I've got you right. You are going with Tennessee in the upset.
Yes, sir.
Tennessee in the upset. You like Alabama at LSU to win that football game. You're all on Clemson. You're on Clemson, you're on Tampa, and you're on Kansas City.
You got it.
All right, buddy. Good luck this weekend.
All right, gentlemen. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em and go Astros.
Go Astros.
All right, Ty. I don't know. Ty, have you seen my man Andy Reid's record off of bye week?
No.
Did you see Derrick Henry last week?
Yeah.
About a quarterback?
Golly, I've got a bad hamstring if I'm a linebacker. Or, I'm sorry, if I'm a free safety or a safety, have a strong safety, having to go head-to-head with that guy at like a 10-yard, I got a bad hamstring.
Andy Reid's teams are 19-3 coming off a regular season bye.
About to be 19-4.
19-3. 7-3 in the playoffs when he comes off, if they have that week off. So I'm not going against that, but it's your pick, Ty. You've got to account for it. I made my picks with Pluckers yesterday. But, hey, listen, Derek, but did you see who Derek Henry was playing against? I mean, that was like the Sisters of the Poor down in Houston, for crying out loud, last week.
Well,
they didn't want any part of him. Now, they played better last night against the Eagles, but the Eagles still won that game 29-17, didn't cover the two touchdowns. But those are among the best games of the weekend. I mean, the Georgia-Tennessee game should just be tremendous. Alabama-LSU. You're taking the Tide, huh? Or you're taking the Tigers, huh? Little LSU in you.
I think Chip Kelly might be getting it going down there. I mean, like I said earlier in the show, 84% chance to make the playoffs if they win this game.
Well, listen, I mean, that's also Nick Saban off the bye. They're off their bye.
I wonder what his record is.
I bet it's good.
101.
Have you seen his overall record as is?
That's what I'm saying. What is it, 101 versus one? Back at Michigan State or something like that, back when he was, a lot younger.
Well, I mean, the cool thing with Brian Kelly is when he was hired, Brian Kelly is the all-time wins leader in Notre Dame history. That's saying a mouthful, right, when you're a football coach there.
It is.
And the question was, what would Brian Kelly be able to do with SEC kind of athletes, right? You know, he gets a different type of ball player at Notre Dame. LSU's got a little bit different. And he's 6-2 after a little bit of a sluggish start. Now, they got smacked around by Tennessee at home for their second loss, but we'll see how they handle Alabama.
Well, I think the Bama game is going to be an exciting game to watch. I think it's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to kind of swing away from that. I'm going to go to your favorite subject for a second, because sitting back here, and I've always known you're an Astros fan.
Thank you.
I had no idea just how in-depth you are. You know more about the Astros than the general manager does. And I was sitting and listening to you talk about them, and it's because you love them so much, right? And you take me all the way back to when you were 8 years old and how important it was and seeing Keith Moreland in his Phillies uniform and that powder blue unis.
And they wore the same ones last night.
I know, but maybe this will make you feel better. 76% of the Game 5 winners who are returning to home to play have won the World Series. So this got to make you feel a bit better. What's also got to make you feel better, in my opinion, Valdez, who is a tremendous power sinker with a great breaker, and the Phillies score a lot of their runs off our homers and doubles and being able to do what? Elevate the baseball. I think it's going to be a really tough matchup for the Phillies, and I do. I think Valdez is going to go out. Fromber's been so good all year long.
And Fromber, we trust.
At home, and I think this could be a great night and a great weekend for the Astros, and, man, I really hope it's going to be even a better weekend for the Longhorns and the Cats, because the Bobcats are going to win on the road at ULM.
Louisiana Monroe.
That's right.
Eat them up there, Coach Spav. Hey, we'll be talking to Coach Spav on Monday, win or lose. Bucky will be back on Monday, we hope. Fingers crossed on that. But, Ty, thank you again so much, buddy.
I've had a blast. Thanks for dragging me along this week. You guys have been incredible. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, man. It's our treat. It's our treat, really. And thanks for doing it. Thank you, Ty, as well. If you missed David Pierce this morning, Lee Sterling's picks at 9 o'clock. Also, all kinds of great people today. So go back and listen on the podcast at hornfm.com. Quan Cosby was with us in the 7 o'clock hour, breaking down the Longhorns in K-State. It's all there for you. Ty, be safe on the roads. Be safe for this storm this afternoon, folks. Come see us tomorrow at Lavaca Street Bar. Get ready for Texas K-State and watch all the Saturday action. Light the tower, including Snoop Daniel back from his big TV appearance at
TV
Fox
Star.
7 will be on coming up with Jeff and Craig. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll talk to you 6 a.m. Set those clocks back. Early Sunday morning. Have a great weekend.